I'm Carrie Doan, and welcome to Clearly Connected. You're listening to episode 39. I'm a life coach, business consultant, speaker, and a big-hearted entrepreneur. I live in the colorful city of Cincinnati, Ohio, with my family, and through my work, I've helped hundreds of conscious people let go of stress and anxiety so that they can feel secure in their relationships and finances. You're enjoying this podcast ad-free because of the generous support of subscribers to Clearly Connected on Spotify. You can learn more at carriedoan.com, where we'll continue the conversation we start here for anyone who wants to move beyond what keeps them stuck. If you struggle with feelings of insecurity, or you just need a few minutes away from the constant stream of information, well, you're in the right place for finding that safe space of connection. Today's question? How do you create unshakable financial and emotional security in a world that is riddled with fear and uncertainty? Listen in. Well, welcome back, everyone. I am so excited for today's episode because I have the pleasure of interviewing my guest, Ada Undis, to talk about our relationship with fear and how to make peace with our bodies and our minds as a way to move about more confidently in the world. So before we dive in, let me take a minute to introduce you to my guest. Ada Undis is a happiness and confidence coach who specializes in food, body, and mind freedom. She is the owner of AU Coaching and the creator of the Find Your Happy Method. And Ada is passionate about transforming your relationship with food, with your body, and yourself from the inside out, holding space for slowing down, for rediscovering who you are, and breaking down beliefs while embracing fears, doubts, and insecurities that may be blocking you from living out your happiest and most confident life. Ada, so glad to have you with us today. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to dive into this conversation today. So juicy.
It is. And I just, even as I'm like introducing you with your bio and what you do, so much of that tracks with who I am and what I believe in. And I know from our previous conversations, like we're going to be getting all into all the things that we care about the most today, this value of freedom, especially from fear and doubt. So I can't wait to get into it. So maybe how about we start with the place that I always start with my guests, which is to just ask you, if you don't mind, to share a little bit about your story and maybe your personal journey of coming from a place of insecurity to now being so radiantly confident in what you do and how you work in your business. Like, what were some of your hurdles? And just give us a little context around your personal evolution.
Of course, I'd love to share. I love my story. And a lot of the times when I see posts of like, tell me five things you wish you knew at the beginning of your story, I always say that I wouldn't have wanted my story to change. I wouldn't have wanted to, for it to look any different, because it ultimately got me where I am today. And it really started 2014. So quick math, 8 years ago. If you ask my mom, I've been doing what I'm doing for a long time. But consciously, and my work with insecurity started, got kickstarted with a very, very innocent goal of weight loss. And which I think a lot of people would, you know, relate to having that at one point in their life. And in the pursuit, very innocent, it was such an innocent thing to do. And it was in a pursuit of feeling better in myself and my body, you know, losing a little bit of what I gained after gaining the freedom of my first corporate job. Because, you know, all of a sudden you have all the time in the world and all the things in the world. And yeah. I was so hopeful that it's going to empower me, that journey is going to empower me to be the happiest version of myself. And at the time, while, you know, I've reached some of my goals. I've reached all of my goals back then. It also landed me in a place of incredible insecurity. It landed me in the place of incredible insecurity with my body, but it also was a catalyst of me discovering how entirely insecure I felt, not just about my body, but about who I was as a person. So through, this obsession with food and exercise and attaching my worth to a lot of external factors, which I didn't see back then. I was just, I was trying to put on a brave face and, fake it till you make it and pretend and take all of these compliments and congratulations and I'm proud of you and I'm jealous and all the things and kind of embody that. But I was really, there was a really, really dark time in my life. And it was the first time that I consciously experienced what insecurity, fear, doubt feels like. And it, manifested itself in hating myself and hating my body, literally using the words "I hate you." Mm-hmm. And it was incredibly difficult, and it led me through various stages of that. Of again, attachment. First, it was attachment to body. Then it was attachment to strength. But overall, it was the attachment to the external. But thanks to that journey, there was a day when I decided that I was done. I'm done. I'm done feeling the way that I'm feeling. I'm done being not knowing who I am, because I literally lost myself to the process. And I adopted the hashtag find your happy, which I have no idea where it came from. It just kind of popped into my head. And I embarked on it's been, oh my gosh, 8 years. That's 7, 8 years. That's crazy. But a long journey of healing and coming back to myself, rediscovering who I was. And every year since then, I was letting go of a lot of things, and I was discovering what confidence feels like. And every year that confidence felt a little different, until the last couple of years when I finally landed in the mythical but so very real land of unconditional confidence that I didn't think was possible. And I am so thankful that, which also led me that whole journey, that the whole weight loss period and battling with my body image, that allowed me to put the groundwork for my relationship with insecurity, with fear, with that, with all of the dark stuff, or we think it's dark. That also allowed me to pursue the business that I have now, pursue being a business owner, having the courage and the guts and the balls to go for it. So I as hard as it was, and as disheartening, and how sad I feel looking back at that version of myself, how thankful I am for going through that, and that it just catapulted everything for me.
Wow. Wow. I love these stories of just total transformation, where you go from some of your lowest lows to then leaning into that pain, that discomfort, and then realizing not just what you're capable of, but who you actually are on the other mm-hmm. side of that journey. And sometimes we just have to really grapple through some of those deep caves. Who was it? I think it's Joseph Campbell said, the cave that you are afraid to enter the most is the one that holds your gold, something like that.
Yeah, I don't know the quote, but yes. Yes, 100%.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I hear. I went through a similar journey myself, where it's just you have to just sit with that insecurity and mm-hmm. intentionally work through rewriting some of the stories that are causing it in the first mm-hmm. place, or take actions that counteract the false narrative of why you should be afraid or why mm-hmm. you're not enough or whatever it is. So I just commend you for doing that, because it does take a lot of courage, like you said, but then you get to reap so much of the rewards on the other side of it. Mm-hmm. So, and one of the things that stood out to me that you said that I think is part and parcel to kind of get to a place like where you're at is you said, I had to let go of a lot of things. And I don't know specifically what those things were for you, but I don't know that we can actually get to a place of confidence without releasing some of the old, right? Maybe it's mm-hmm. people, maybe it's like certain thoughts that aren't serving you, maybe it's behaviors. So I don't know, maybe I'd ask you, do you remember what were some of those things that you had to let go of?
Oh yeah. And I remember that vividly, because that literally like catapulted, overarchingly, I had to let go of me trying to be everything and being, it was the perfectionist tendency, like 100%. Mm-hmm. And it manifested itself again for my journey early on. It was through this obsessive eating patterns and exercise patterns. And I mean, I could go on and on about how much anxiety it created for me to like miss a day or whatever. And I landed in a point where I was like doing my full-time corporate job. I was planning a wedding. I also was doing my master's. Wow. And I realized that I can't do it all. I can't do all three of those things and exercise like 7 days a week and do all. And that was a catalyst for me to start to be comfortable with scaling back. With and I think one of the biggest lessons that I've learned, and sometimes I do coach people on that as well, is learning to live without a very tangible goal. I had to stop chasing, because I was chasing either a certain body or a certain, you know, performance or whatever it was, and it just led me into a circle of exhaustion, and I landed into a point where I had so much going on that I had to let it go, and I had to let go of a certain goal. And that was one of the, I don't talk about it often, but that was one of the best lessons. And then the most pivotal lessons that I adopt is that to learn how to just simply like live and focus on life and not constantly be in a chase and a pursuit and in something, but and that's, I think, is one of the hardest lessons that people encounter, to not chase.
Yeah, I love that you're bringing this up, because I speak about it too with some of my clients. I phrase it more in this learning to detach from outcomes, you know, to essentially let go. Like, you could have certain desires, but also to like not fixate so much on it or like cling to that or chase it, like you're saying, but to allow the process to just unfold in the direction of that thing without trying to contort it any specific way. And when you can release that, you're right, it is one of the hardest things that we as humans, I think, struggle to do, because it does require a lot of trust. But when you do release, it's just, then you kind of drop into the present moment more. You are, like you said, living. You're not projecting, forecasting out so much. You're actually here, kind of like flowing with the moment and trusting that you're headed in the direction that you want, and that really is enough. So I love how you're kind of framing that, because this is like one of the greatest lessons of life, period.
I think so. And like, it just, because it's not about not, you know, not desiring something or not working on yourself or whatever. But a lot of the times, and a lot of the people that I've worked with, for example, and you might relate to that too, or your clients' journeys, then that we pick goals or things that we want to chase, want to create, want to pursue, that are not actually what we want, and we chase them to fulfill something because either someone told us we have to, or, you know, the society told us we have to, especially as women, for example. Society tells us a lot of things, that we have to do this, we have to pursue that. This is, has to be our life's, you know, passion, to work on ourselves all the time. And I work with that a lot with my clients. And that was true for me, is that what I was pursuing wasn't really giving me what I wanted. So to stop that pursuit and let go of that and learn to live in the moment allowed for that clarity of what is it that I actually want out of this happy place, not go to a happy place, but out of this happy place, what do I want to create?
Yeah. Well, I think there's two, as you're talking, I think there is this thing that happens when you can kind of relax, right, and stop chasing. I think that can shift, you know, a person away from anxiety or that insecurity that quite often is fed by anxiety. And it allows you to, of course, be more present, but also to just, it, from that place, your body gets into parasympathetic mode, and that's where you can tap into more creativity and maybe more innovative insight, or you're connected to your gut a little more, so you can sense what you need to say yes and no to. So it just allows for so much more energy to be tapped into for, I don't know. I guess we could just sum it up as happiness, really. But yeah, go ahead.
No, and then I was just, you were just saying, like, it also gives more energy, right? Because and it kind of goes back. So, you know, the episode around fear and relationship with insecurity and fear. And when we're in that fearful state and we let the fear run the show, or we let the insecurity run the show, then we don't make decisions that are specifically good for us. They're good for the fear. They're good for the insecurity. But, and when we learn that fear can exist and we don't have to let it run the show, when we learn that insecurity is not the bad guy and we don't have to give it its power, we, like you said, get to come back to that more calm state of nervous system, the more happy, or just content and okay. And from that place, like you said, it creates so much more, space and creates so much more energy. And it's like a fog lift, and you're like, oh, my fear, my insecurity wanted me to go this way, but I don't think that's actually going to serve me. I think going this way is going to serve this contentment that I have, this creativity that I have, this true self that I have.
Yeah, right. Because you said it, that this is something that I speak about often, is that fear is, it's not who you are. It's a thing that sometimes we attach to it and identify with it. It's hard to get that separation. But ultimately, when you can release that, that's when you are connected to your true self, to that authentic place. And from there comes so much inner peace, right? And the confidence and all of that comes with it. So I love that you're touching on that. I mean, since we're kind of talking about this fear topic, one of the things that I love talking about is kind of moving from scarcity, which I believe is fear-based, to a more abundant mindset. And I know we've kind of already like danced around that a little bit, but I'd love to hear your thoughts or your journey from scarcity to more of this, like, I have more than enough. I am more than enough. I am abundant. Do you want to speak to that a little bit?
Oh my gosh. That, I'm going to bring that back to my business, because I think that's where, I mean, fitness journey, that also exists, but you're entirely right that the scarcity mindset, is that fear-based, that pressured pursuit, that belief that I have to get somewhere in order to feel secure. I specifically security. Security was a big one for me. Security, safety, confidence in what I'm doing. And I remember that being a big part of I mean, I'm still in the beginning stages of running my business. I'm still a baby in this whole process. And I remember there was a time where I believed that I could never feel secure without having all of the externals, for example, money, right? Where, and I'm going to bring it back to money. It's like, there was so much fear around not having enough money, and it created such a pressurized environment for wanting to, you know, I love what I do. There is so much passion, and in that scarcity mindset, that passion, like that fear almost clouds that passion. So you almost lose the sense of what you're doing and why you're doing, because of that pursuit of that monetary security becomes so high. And it took a lot of inner work. And this is where I invested in the heck out of myself into a very, like, a year-long mentorship that focused on, that was a lot of money that I didn't have. And I put it down because I saw the value in it. And it really helped me to recognize, realize that by the end of it, I had no idea that it would be possible to feel okay even when there isn't a lot present, or to seemingly not have a lot of present and still feel so incredibly abundant. Because now I get the difference between abundance and wealth, like building wealth, for example. But that doesn't mean there isn't abundance already. And I remember it clear as day, sitting and reflecting and feeling, through the work of accepting my fears, through the work of knowing that my fear is my inspiration, through the work of doing a lot of nervous system work and somatic work and cultivating okayness, no matter what is happening, there was a moment that I realized that there is abundance. No matter how little there is always abundance. And I never felt so secure in the light of all of the freaking uncertainty of building a business. There is so much uncertainty.
There really is. I agree. I think even in life, period, you know, like, you look at the nature itself is unpredictable and kind of like, it can be wild and chaotic. So that we think that there things are certain, but in reality, I think it's a bit of an illusion. And so if we're placing our faith or trust in something outside of ourselves, then that will always be shifting and changing. But if you can find a way to build that from within, like you're describing, it's an inside job. And then from there, it's like, nothing can shake you. If you feel that inner security and it's not contingent upon money or somebody saying you're acceptable or whatever, then you become like it's like a superpower of some sort. So I hear you, and I think this is a process, but I think it's one worth taking, because it's not really that different if you think about it from, you know, if you have a coach, say you're an athlete, you're training your body to perform at its highest. And it's no different with like the mental aspect, the mindset, where if you have thoughts or beliefs that are telling you you're not good enough, or there's so much fear in all of this, I'm sure is, you know, it's tied to people's childhoods and their past. Mm-hmm. But if that's at play, then it requires this process of training your mind in the same way that you train your body to be able to withstand all of the uncertainty, all of the changing dynamics in this world, so that you can actually live a high quality of life in spite of all of the unknowns, right?
Right. Because what is that quote? The only certain thing in life is how uncertain it is.
Yeah, the only guarantee in life is there are no guarantees.
Exactly. I'm even going to say that it's training your mind, but it's actually also training your body. because it's training. It's coming, like all of these scary feelings, right? Because what the thoughts that we have kind of come from all of us not being familiar with some of the feelings that we have. Because again, going back to childhood, we could, you know, this is another topic that we could dive into. Now going back to childhood, we were not, most of us were not taught how to cultivate an accepting and compassionate relationship with the feelings that we have. And all of these scary feelings, they're all, like the insecurity or fear or doubt, are only scary because we don't know them. So this whole process is not only training your mind to not attach to the things that we think, to not take them as a truth and just simply notice them and question them and understand them and just remind them that we don't have to believe that. But it's also training our body and our nervous system and every cell in ourselves that those the feelings that come over, the sensations that come over, they're not scary or as scary as we think. They're only scary because we haven't learned what they are. We haven't we haven't spent time with them. We haven't actually paid attention what's going on. And the more we do that, the more safe they feel because they're not so unknown. They're not so arbitrary. We're not making up stories about these feelings. And for me specifically, because I'm such a like overthinking pattern person, I do everything in my head. And the working with the body, with fear, with insecurity, and recognizing what they are and recognizing that they're not dangerous. And I don't have to give in to that. Like, I can remind myself that that safety is there, the security is there. That was a huge training component that really shifted a lot of things.
Yeah, this is so powerful what you're saying, because I think most people, at least in our culture, we didn't really have a lot of language around our emotional world, especially men don't have a lot of permission to express what they're feeling. And so much of this is new, I think, to be, even Brené Brown talks about this, where it's like, if you don't have the language, the word to convey the nuance of what you're actually feeling, you feel trapped by it. It's scary. It's confusing. You don't know what it is. You don't have awareness. And I think a large part of what you and I both do in our work is drawing awareness and creating that safety and around what is actually happening in your body or in your mind. And from that awareness and that understanding comes peace, right? And from that comes power, I believe, where you feel like not only do you understand it, but you know what to do with it. And that's very empowering. So I love that you're bringing the body into this, because it is all connected, right? And I think even so many of us are trying to learn, well, what does it mean to be friends with my body and to inhabit my body and let it be a safe place? Because that's a whole other component of undoing that we have to go through in order to feel that, because of all of the messages in society and everything. So yeah, I appreciate this.
There's so much we didn't learn. There's so much. And it's funny when you said, you know, drawing attention, I started chuckling on the inside a little, because like one of the things that I do with my clients is literally draw the feeling. It's like, imagine yourself drawing your feeling, because it breaks the tension of it. If I try to imagine, you know, work with my body in a, like, if for a lot of people, just sitting with the feeling is really scary. But if you were to draw it as if I, like, imagine yourself being 5 years old and ask yourself, how would I draw this? I've had the most fun things come out of some of my client session with, like, fuzzy things and stick figures and all the things. So the drawing part of it just made me chuckle, because I was like, yeah, we can literally, like, draw what we feel in order to, again, gain that understanding Because that understanding thing, the compassionate curiosity and the compassionate understanding of our human experience is so incredibly important, because we, all of the feelings, like we buy into this story and we're getting sold this story that in order to feel confident, in order to make powerful decisions, I have to not feel fear. I have to not feel insecure. And they're all crucial. They're all part of our human existence, and they're all crucial. They are the superpower, because without those, we wouldn't know what power is. We wouldn't know what confidence is. We wouldn't know what, you know, fearless is, or whatever that powerful feeling is. So it's being in existence, like having compassion and understanding for our whole human experience. And using those scary moments, scary feelings to your advantage is where that superpower is. Not to get rid of them, but to use them.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. One of the words that I like to use connected to this is alchemizing, like taking, you take, I don't know, fear or pain, and you take that energy and you transform it into something that works for you, right? Like that's powerful, I think. So I fully agree. I fully agree. And, you know, you mentioned earlier that something about getting stuck into, like, you're in your head a lot, overthinking. And I think analysis paralysis is a real issue for all of us, probably. But, and it's, we're in our heads so much. So how, if somebody, you know, is listening and they're thinking like, well, how do I even get into my body? Like, what would you say to somebody who gets caught in that pattern so often?
How do I get into my body? That's because, yes, if you're in your mind, the most powerful thing you can do is get into your body. And there are so many fun ways to just experiment with that. And from a simple, I don't know, tapping yourself or pinching yourself to bring awareness to your body. Like it's really that simple to bring, either squeeze something or touch something tangible, to bring awareness to your body and break the connection from being stuck in your head. So it can be as simple as, like I say, you can pinch yourself, you can do a squeezy thing, you can, this is, I think, where the whole snapping the rubber band on your wrist came from. I won't recommend that, but I think that's where it came from, because it snaps you out of it. But there's so many ways, and everybody's going to relate to something different on how to get into their body. I love breath work. So just when I notice, when I notice that I'm in my head, I know that it's not my head that's the problem. I'm not going to stand there and give myself affirmations, because that doesn't work for me. It creates even more noise. So when I know I'm in my head, I automatically try to decipher, okay, what am I feeling? And I'm going to just sit with that for a second, and I'm going to let it be. And I'm going to do the thing despite the feeling. I'm going to, no, not despite. I'm going to do the thing with the feeling alongside of it. But sometimes it's turning on some music and dancing. Sometimes it's hugging a loved one. Sometimes it's petting your dog. Undervalued, incredibly powerful experience is to pet your pet, and to bring awareness to how it feels to just give them some love. Walking, going for walks, that's where creativity lives. I like being outside. Movement of any sort is really powerful. So just finding a way that inspires in that moment, that feels uncomfortable but doable, because it's hard to like get out of your head, because it feels comfy to be there. So thinking about standing up, or, you know, going into a different room, that's another thing, going and washing your hands can break you out of that cycle.
That's so good. Like anything to just like disrupt that pattern. I was talking to a client this morning about this, because, you know, she was recognizing that she she gets into this habit mentally, like there's this trauma response and a fear reactive thing going on. And I was recommending to her something like dancing, like you said, mm-hmm. or just get up and shake your body mm-hmm. really hard. Yeah. And there's something about that intensity. It can release things, but it stops that rumination mm-hmm. and draws your awareness back to you. And I agree. I think dancing for me is like the number one thing, because I mean, I guess some people are self-conscious and you maybe have to work through that to an extent, even when you're alone. But once you cross over to the land of, I just don't care what people mm-hmm. think or how I look, man, is that just like so liberating. Feels so good to inhabit yeah. your body in that way, because finally you can just turn the mind off for a minute. And this is also reminding me, I'm reading this kind of guru. His name's Osho. He's like a spiritual guru. And he talks about how we're in the mind all the time.
Yeah.
And, but when you're in awareness, or like when you meditate and you're just simply aware in your being, you're not in your mind. You're finally away from that. You know, you've mm-hmm. stopped that. So there's all these different ways to get to that. But I think, yes, all of what you're sharing in terms of the body aspects are just fantastic. So then it's a matter of just executing, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Be as simple as it's, because it is about like just changing your state in whatever way. So if you're ruminating and sitting, get up and take a few steps, and that's gonna like kick you out of your mind a little bit more, because you're changing, like your body changed state, so it has to focus on something. So, but it does come with practice and courage to be aware. Courage to be aware, and courage to take that awareness to the next step.
Yeah, I love that you said that, because yeah, I think awareness in a way is like the truth. That's the truth for ourselves, right? And sometimes mm-hmm. the truth hurts at first, but then it sets you free. So mm-hmm. it does require courage, but I think the reward is there. For sure. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering, Ada, if somebody is listening and they're like just stuck in insecurity, or they're feeling overly anxious in their perception of themselves, like what is one simple, small thing that you would recommend that they could do to take away with them and to employ to shift out of that?
Pause for a second. Take a breath and remind yourself that you're okay. Because that insecurity will tell you that you have to do all of these things, and you're going to start thinking ahead and making plans and getting overwhelmed. So take a pause, take a breath, and remind yourself that you're okay. You're safe. You don't have to change anything in this particular moment. But it's that is the smallest and most powerful thing that you can do, is pause, remind yourself you're okay, and then decide what you want to do. Maybe step outside for a second, take a, you know, feel the breath, fresh air, feel the non-existent sun on your face. But remind yourself that you're okay, because your insecurity and fear is going to try to buy you into a story that you're not. But if you think about it, you're sitting here, wherever you are, you're driving in your car, taking a shower, sitting on a couch, you're okay. There's no danger.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful, because it's really a practice of soothing yourself. Some people would phrase that as like reparenting yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But at its most basic, it's nourishing, loving yourself mm-hmm. in the simplest way.
Yeah.
And I think it is that simple.
it really is. If people don't like realize, and I have this surprise every time I talk to a new client and we do this exercise, and they're like, huh, that easy? I'm like, yep. And it's a repetition of reminding yourself that you're safe, that you're not stuck in this imaginary world that the insecurity is selling you on. that literally in this particular moment, you're fine.
Yeah. It's so, and that's so simple yet so powerful because, right, we see all these fear images and even marketing stuff out there. It's just like the news, all of it's fear-based. Mm-hmm. And so we're just really have to be intentional about reminding ourselves that we are safe. We are, as adults, right? We have the power. We have more power than we recognize to change. And sometimes it's as simple as taking a pause, breathing, and remembering that. So I think that's beautiful. Oh my gosh. Okay. This is the hard part where I have to stop talking to you.
Yeah. Cause if we could, we would.
I know. I knew this was coming. So, well, let me go ahead and we'll kind of tie up our conversation. I want to ask you the questions I ask all my guests, Ada, which is, what are you up to these days that has you excited?
Oh, so much. So much. One particular thing that I'm really excited about is I am launching, I'm getting ready for my third cohort of my small group experience called Confident You. So that's starting this Sunday. So it's like coming up really fast. So I'm really excited about that. So that gets me pumped up. And I run it a few times a year. So that's, the door is always open at one point. And I'm really excited about that because it's such a powerful, powerful thing. It's a short experience, but the amount of powerful transformations that happen from it have been incredibly amazing. And I feel so lucky that I get to do that. So that's coming up for me and serving clients. And also on a personal note, try planning a trip back home. That's what gets me excited right now too.
Yeah, and tell people where your home base is.
Home base is in Poland. We're going there this summer and we're going to see Taylor Swift and we're very excited.
That is something to be excited about.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's incredible. Yeah. And I guess if people want to know more about that cohort, could they find that on your website?
Yes, it's on my website. Like I said, it opens a few times a year. I keep it very small, very safe, very intimate. So it's on my website and you can always reach out to me if you have questions about it too.
Yeah, awesome. Because that kind of leads into my next question, which is how can people get in touch with you or find your content? I'm assuming we've got the website, which I can definitely post in the show notes. But then you said Instagram as well, correct?
Yes, Instagram is the, like, if you want to get in touch to me fast, with me fast, that is your point of contact. That's the best point of contact, to just shoot me a message or comment or whatever. So at Ada Undis, very simple, can't miss it. If you want to reach me, then that's the easiest way to do that.
Yes. Well, I will definitely link both of those in the show notes so that people have it spelled out real simply for them for where they can find you. And then I'm so pleased to share that Ada is offering a gift to all listeners on Clearly Connected. She's gifting a 1-to-1 90-minute powerful conversation just for listeners today. So if they want to, I'm going to also link that in the show notes as well, because there's a special link that you've created.
Yes.
So I'll put that as well. So if that's something you want to take her up on, I highly, highly recommend. And Ada, wow, what a powerful conversation I've had with you today. I'm not surprised at all. I anticipated it would be. And I just feel so grateful to just glean from your insights and feeling inspired to just keep tapping into our own journeys, our own healing journeys of becoming aware of our insecurities and reclaiming our power. So I'm just so grateful and honored that you took the time to share all of this with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. This was such a, and I knew that, just like you did, I knew that we're going to have a beautiful conversation and such a powerful topic, and really also inspires me now. It kind of was a reset that I needed. We kind of mentioned it as we were chatting before this, and it's been a heck of a time of both grief and a lot of uncertainty. Sometimes can get you a little buried. So this has been a really good reset to just feel into myself, and now I can move forward more powerfully. So thank you for holding space for that.
Oh my gosh. Well, it's funny. There's a mutuality here because I'm very much feeling the same way too. Just some days you're just dealing with the heavy. And mm-hmm. I think having these conversations can even remind us, you know, as coaches, mm-hmm. like of the power that we have or the way that we can choose to see life and just have the space to talk about all of that. So I'm receiving mm-hmm. just as much as well. And we definitely have some like synergistic tracking wavelength for our riding on, I think. So.
Yes. Something, everything is connected. Everyone is connected in one way or another.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm sure, I mean, if you want to come back on the show, we could get into even more juicy stuff in the future. So
I'm sure we could.
We'll have to talk about that. awesome. Well, it's been such a pleasure. And everyone, I just invite you to check out Ada on her website and on Instagram. And I thank you for taking the time to tune into this episode. So until the next one, I invite you to consider taking that one small step forward to just notice your own insecurities and lovingly embrace your fears with compassion as you move forward to heal it all. Mind, body, and soul. Thank you for joining me and listening to Clearly Connected. And now, my one question for you. Are you ready to experience the transformative money magic on the other side of powerful questions and one-to-one coaching to help you break up with your relationship with money stress so you can feel a sense of security and create a lasting legacy? If so, let's talk. Book a free coaching consultation with the link in the podcast show notes to talk about what it would look like to work together and how I can help you save, invest, and make more money doing what you love. And if you enjoy this podcast, I'd be ever so grateful if you shared a review. As a thank you for your feedback, I'll be picking one listener who leaves a review every month to win a one-to-one free coaching session.